Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 18 and try to get down through verse 35 tonight in our Bible study. You remember last week when we were in John chapter 7, we talked about Jesus raising a widow's son from the dead. He came into town, and the funeral procession was carrying his body out to the cemetery to bury it. And Jesus stopped it and told the young man to arise and gave him back to his mom. And she was a widow. And we ended there with verse 17, and this rumor of him, this news of him, it wasn't a rumor, it was an actual report, went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And so word spread very quickly about what Jesus had done. Now, look at verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Now, the John is talking about in that verse is John the Baptist. And just from our study of Luke, we know some things about John the Baptist. In the first chapter of Luke, we read about the miracle of his birth. Remember, his father was a priest. His turn came up to burn incense. And he was burning incense, and an angel visited him and said, "Hey, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. He's going to be a blessing to the world because of the news that he's going to deliver. He'll turn many people to the Lord." And, of course, his dad was old. His mom was old, well past the age of childbearing. And John the Baptist's dad didn't believe the angel. And Gabriel said, "Well, you're not going to be able to speak until the young man is born, the little boy is born." So he was mute. He couldn't speak for the 9 months. His wife was pregnant. And then when John was born, they went about naming him. And they assumed that they were going to call him after his father, Zacharias. Elizabeth, his mother, said, "No, we're going to name him John." And they went to his dad and said, is this your wishes? And they handed him a writing pad, and he was able to speak, as Gabriel said. And then further on in Luke, after chapter 2, which was the birth of Christ, chapter 3, we talked about John's ministry. He was an unusual character. He was in the wilderness. He dressed in animal clothes. He ate locusts and honey. And when he came on the scene, he did not hesitate to call him as he saw him, so to speak. I mean, people would come to hear him. They would come to be baptized, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. He preached about the Messiah. In fact, he was the forerunner of the Messiah. And his message was, "Get ready, because he's coming. Get ready, because he's coming." The religious leaders came to him to hear him preach, and he didn't give them much respect. He called them he called them what they were, serpents. They were leading people blind. They were leading people astray in what they taught. And so he did not mince words. He was a prophet that preached the truth. He had a message from God. He had a call from God. I mean, before he was born, that's what the angel told his dad. He was going to be the forerunner of Christ. He had a message to deliver, and he did not shrink from that message at all. It didn't matter who was in the audience, whether it was a king or whether it was a pauper. He delivered the message that God wanted him to deliver. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Sermon on the Mount, as Luke recorded it. And I mentioned that the Sermon on the Mount, most Bible scholars think that it was delivered about halfway through Jesus' ministry. We know he had a little three-year-plus ministry, little from a time standpoint, not little from any other standpoint, but little from a time standpoint. And at this point, when the disciples of John showed him all these things, they had to show him because he was in jail. The reason he was in jail is that he told Herod, it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. And Herod didn't like it, and so threw him in jail. And most Bible scholars think at this point that John had been in jail for almost 18 months, for a year and a half. And so he came on the scene. He announced the Messiah was coming to get ready. He said, "Hey, there's somebody coming after me that I'm not even worthy to latch up their sandals." So get ready, he's coming. And then not too long after that, he was thrown in jail. Now, apparently, while he was in jail, his disciples could come and visit him, because, as it said there, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things. They showed him and related to him all the things that Jesus had done. I'm sure one of the first things they told him, and I don't think this was the first occasion, I think they visited him often. The fact that they were still called his disciples means that he was still their teacher. And so I'm sure he used the jail time like the Apostle Paul did to teach those that came into his presence. And wouldn't it have been neat to have been a prison guard and guarding John the Baptist or the Apostle Paul? I mean, your life had to be changed just being around those guys. But that's another lesson. So they showed him. I'm sure this time they think, hell, you never guess what he did. You'll never guess. He went to this city. He saw a funeral procession. He stopped it and raised the young man from the dead, brought him back to life. Now, that was just the latest thing. I mean, they told him he's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's making the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. I mean, we studied it in Luke. He went into the city of Capernaum. He healed every sick person in the city. And I can see as the disciples came to John the Baptist and told him all these things for a year and a half that Jesus was doing, that, you know, he heard about him, he thought about him. But look at verse 19. This seems strange. Here was a guy that was called before he was born. Here was a guy that knew what his purpose was, given to him by God, to be the forerunner of Christ, to announce the Messiah was coming. Look at verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Again, the forerunner of Christ. One that boldly stood before kings and preached the gospel, the message that the Messiah was coming. Now, he's saying, hey, I want you to go call a couple of his disciples. I want you to go ask him, are you the one that we were looking for? Or should we look for another? Some people read this and they say, well, John's beginning to doubt. I mean, he's the one that announced the Messiah. And yet here he is, he's asking two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you really him? I mean, he's the one that pointed to him, said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I mean, he pointed to the person. When Jesus came to be baptized of John the Baptist, I'm not worthy to do that. I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, no, we're going to do it to fulfill all scripture. And when he come up out of the water after being baptized by John the Baptist, the dove came from heaven and lighted on him. And this is my beloved son. A voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And yet, here he is now asking a question that might indicate that there's some doubt in his mind that Jesus was really the Messiah. And I don't think that's the case, so let me hasten to see that. But I think John had some questions. Because you see, when he preached the Messiah, he preached both the Messiah that was foretold in the major prophets, which was the suffering servant, which was the one that would come and minister to people. But he also preached the Messiah that was foretold in the minor prophets, the one that would come with judgment, the one that would come and set up his kingdom on this earth and judge sin. And so all the reports that John had been hearing is what was foretold in the major prophets, the suffering servant, the one that was coming to heal, the one that was coming to minister to people. Where was the one that was going to come and preach judgment? Now, Jesus did his fair share of that, but I'm sure, you know, if you were John the Baptist's disciples, what would you tell them about? Would you tell them about him bringing somebody back from the dead or him preaching about sin? I mean, they were people just like us. They would talk about the miraculous things that were done. They would talk, and that's all John had. I mean, he couldn't read it in a daily newspaper. He had to listen to what his disciples said. And people back then were just like us. We're always more willing to talk about the wonderful things that happen than we are, you know, the message of sin and judgment. And so John, all the reports I heard, well, I see one side of the Messiah, but where's the other side? And so he sent word to Jesus, are you the one that we should be looking for? Or is there going to be another one that will fulfill the prophecies that are in the minor prophets that deal with the judgment? I mean, Jesus wasn't setting up a government. He wasn't raising an army to overthrow Rome. All those were foretold in the minor prophets. That was going to happen. And John said, and what he was saying is, I see one aspect, I see one side of the Messiah that I pointed to and preached, but I don't see the other side. And so he sent his two disciples and said, are you the one that we should look for, or should we look for another? When the men were come unto him, unto Jesus, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now notice how Jesus responded. And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. So he continued what he was doing. He continued his ministry of healing. He continued his ministry of casting out devils. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Notice verse 23. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, that word offended doesn't mean exactly the same thing that we use it today. Not being offended in by something that's said and us taking offense to it. What Jesus was saying, you go back and you tell John everything you've seen. And just tell him, blessed is he that doesn't doubt. Blessed is he that isn't, and what he was saying is, that looks at the whole picture before he rushes into judgment. Again, I don't think that John doubted Jesus as the Messiah. I think he was looking for the other side of the Messiah. He was looking for things that Jesus hadn't done, or at least he hadn't heard about it, because I know Jesus preached against sin. You can read Sermon on the Mount and see that. But he hadn't heard about it. And John didn't know that the kingdom was not going to be set up till later, that he was going to take the earthly throne, but it was going to be the second time he came back. And so Jesus said, he didn't change his program, didn't change his timing. He said he continued doing the same things that he did. And he said, you just go back and you tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. And he listed some of those things. And he said, blessed, happy, whosoever shall not doubt, shall look at the whole picture before he makes up his mind. Now look at verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. You sort of wish the messengers had stuck around so they could hear this and carry this message back to John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? He said, when you went out to the wilderness, when you heard about John the Baptist preaching, you didn't go out to see a reed that was shaken. He didn't change his message based on the crowd. He didn't change his message based on who was listening to him. He didn't change his message based on what was going on. His message was straightforward, and it was the same time after. That's who you went out to see. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? He didn't wear soft raiment. He wore animal skins. Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's court. So you want to see, you didn't go out to see somebody that, you know, was dressed up fine and lived a delicate life. You went out and you saw a rugged outdoorsman. And he said in verse 26, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet, somebody that had a message from God that they were delivering, and somebody that delivered it straight. Didn't pull any punches. Didn't change the message based on who was in the crowd. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Jesus reinforces the mission that John the Baptist had. He was my forerunner. He was appointed by God to come and prepare the way for me to come. He did that. Yeah. For I say unto you, and this is verse 28, one of the greatest compliments another person could pay another person, but when it came from the lips of our Savior, what a tremendous compliment this is. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. All the prophets that went before him. I mean, all the ones that wrote Bible books that we have in the Bible. All the ones that prophesied before John. Jesus said, hey, this is the greatest one. Because he stood on the shoulders of all the other prophets and brought it all together. Because he's the one that was able to say, hey, now is all this being fulfilled. Now the one that's been talked about in the Old Testament is here. He's coming. I'm his forerunner. I'm preparing the way. He's on the scene. And so Jesus said, not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But then notice what he says. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Not greater in character, not greater in mission, but greater in privilege. The privilege that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have in him. John may have been the greatest prophet born to a woman, but everybody that knows Jesus as Savior, everybody that's in the kingdom of God stands equal to John the Baptist. Because, and I was talking about it to somebody this week earlier, the ground at the cross is level. When we come to the cross, there's nobody better than anybody else, because when we come to the cross, we're all there because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Nobody has an advantage because Jesus did the same for everybody. And so Jesus was saying, he that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justify God being baptized with the baptism of John. The publicans, those that came and submitted to John's baptism, they said, oh, hey, listen to what Jesus said. We were baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They didn't submit to the baptism of John, so they didn't believe or listen to what Jesus just said. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And so Jesus said, and again, the people there that heard him talk about John the Baptist, some, you know, puffed out their chest and said, well, I was baptized by John the Baptist. I really like what you're saying. Others rejected John, didn't get baptized, and so they didn't like what Jesus was said. And so in response, he knew what they were saying. He knew what they were thinking. In response, he says, let me tell you what you're like. You're like a bunch of kids in the marketplace. And they could have been seeing where they could see some kids playing games. And he said, some kids say, hey, let's play this game. And some of them don't join in. And he says, other kids, well, let's play this game. And they don't join in. And so he said, there's a division among children about the games that they play. He said, this generation is just like children. John came. He lived a very... I don't know what the word is. He lived a life that he didn't enjoy the things of the world. He didn't eat bread nor drink wine. And you said he had a devil. He was insane because he set himself apart from all that. You said he had a devil. And the Son of Man, talking about himself, he says, I've come and I eat and I drink, and you call me a glutton and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. Said, yeah, I mean, you know, some of you are for John, some of you are against him. Some of you are for me, some of you are against me. Just like a bunch of kids. Notice what he says in verse 35. But wisdom is justified of all her children. What Jesus was saying, hey, you got to wait till it all ends before you see how it all comes together. Now, see, we can look back. We have a lot more knowledge than the people did in this day. We have a lot more knowledge than John the Baptist did. We have the whole Bible. We know what's going to happen in the end. Our Messiah is going to come, and he is going to judge sin. Those that have rejected him are going to stand, and they're going to give an account for their sin. They're going to be judged and cast into the lake of fire. Jesus is going to come and set up an earthly kingdom. He's going to rule on this world for 1,000 years, and we that are Christians will rule with him. And we know the whole picture. And again, some people read about this message that John sent and say, oh, poor John. Not poor John. Jesus went back to him and said, hey, it ain't over till it's over. You got to wait and see the whole picture. I'm the one that was promised. I am the Messiah, and I'm going to be all the Messiah. There's not another one coming. I'm it, and we know that. We know that he is. We can see the whole picture. All right, thank you for being here tonight. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. And I'm so glad that I'm part of his family. I'm glad that you're part of his family. And again, it's all because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.